Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's a new normal. We're all waking up to wearing a mask when out and about is compulsory here in Singapore. It is now mandatory when stepping out of the house, with some exceptions for the very young and those who are, you know, indulging in strenuous activity. But there's still so many lockdown rules, I think, that it's causing a little bit of confusion. I've been getting a flurry of SMSs, people wondering, can I do this? Can I not do that? So I've invited Lim Fung Pin on to help us explain the lockdown rules. He is director of UN Law and has over 20 years of legal experience under his belt. We're going to look closely at the COVID-19 Temporary Measures Act and Control Order regulations as it relates to your daily life. Fung Pin, how have you been coping with the measures to keep us all indoors and safe?
Good morning, Michelle. It's great to be with you again. Yeah, we're all coping, not just in Singapore, but globally, with an unprecedented situation here. And I think the questions that you've been asked, I've been asked too, and I asked myself. And I think some of the confusion or uncertainty is because things are changing on a weekly basis,
Yes, absolutely. All right, or even daily basis. You know,
that's right.
You could go out with a mask yesterday, but not today, right? All right, let's start. Fung Pin, if someone were to come up to you and ask, can I go out? I have more than one family member. So, for example, a mom has three kids and dad needs to work from home, and she wants to go out to the supermarket with the three kids. Can you go out with more than one family member at one time?
Yes, yes. I think what the ministers, what the government is trying to do is that we, and PM himself has said, we need to understand the spirit of the law. And we have to understand that it must be essential. Whether you're a business, it must be essential service. And even on the individual basis, it must be essential. So, I mean, if a mother wants to bring out three kids to the supermarket and there's no one at home to take care of the kids, and of course, I don't think any enforcement officer is going to stop her as long as she wears a mask and her kids who are above 2 years old are wearing a mask. And if she goes to the supermarket quickly and leaves for home quickly. I think since the regulations came out on April 7th, if I'm not wrong, or 6th or 3rd actually, it has been constantly updated to provide for more situations. Now it's been clearer that, you know, you don't have to wear a mask in your car if you're traveling, as long as one is a family member. And to answer your question, of course she can bring out the three kids, but she must take the proper measures and it must be a necessary trip. And in related matters, some people say, oh, can I go to the park with my three kids instead of the supermarket?
Right.
So if it's for genuine exercise, yes, you know. But, you know, if you're like, I think what the enforcement officers have been doing over the Easter weekend is that they found people playing frisbee, flying kites, and that's not exactly exercise. It's not exactly essential. I think what the government is trying to do is a correct thing. It's like, look, if you're jogging, if you're doing push-ups in the field, then yes. But if you're taking it leisure, you're doing a leisure activity, it's not necessarily essential, then they'll say, hey, you know, can we curtail this? And I think the other problem with open spaces is that if you bring your kids along and immediate family members, which is all right, you can go for a walk or jog with your immediate family members because you're living them anywhere. Anyway, the trouble with the open spaces is that people now start to congregate. I bring a family too. I see a family of three, my old friend or my neighbor, and we stop and we start chatting. And that's where the problem arises.
I want to bring you back to that first example. So mom needs to head out, has three kids, and you say as long as that's an essential trip. So that's clear. But what if, you know, she needs to get out because dad needs to work from home? He's video conferencing with another country and he can't have the kids screaming in the background. So it's not exactly an essential trip because, you know, she's not picking up any groceries, she's not seeking help, but she needs to do it because otherwise, you know, he's not going to be able able to make the call. So people are working from home, and there needs to be some, you know, they feel that they need the flexibility to step out. Is that considered essential if she leaves the house because dad needs the silence to work?
Well, I mean, a lot of us live in apartments, and the space is not big. If you live in a mansion, maybe you can go to the east wing. So I understand it's a real issue. But honestly speaking, I think I think the baseline is still that you need to manage the situation. I recall, I think the whole world saw that incident where a BBC reporter had kids, you know, barged into the room and everything. I mean, honestly speaking, I think just to address the issue of video conferencing, I think a lot of people are now doing video conferencing, yeah? And we do get interruptions with kids and even spouses coming in with questions in the middle of a video conference. I think people are a bit more forgiving and gracious as well. So in that kind of new environment, I think people are more gracious. But to really, I would not advise it to say get out unless you have a screaming child or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it. I would think it's not really essential. I mean, if you bring the kid for a drive around the neighborhood, you know, for a half an hour, and you don't meet anyone, I think that's the whole point. You're not meeting other people. You're not exposing yourself or someone else, or someone elderly or a neighbor.
Got it. So the bottom line is, every time you head out, ask yourself, is this trip essential? Yeah,
that's
the
right.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another scenario. Can you visit your parents who are not living with you?
Yeah, that's been a tough one even for myself. I've got a father-in-law who's in his 80s and my mom is in her 70s, and they're longing to see their grandkids and us as well. Okay. Well, the bottom line is, actually, the baseline is no, right? But, of course, at first it started off that way with the regulations, but then looking at the revisions that the government has made, you can visit, but again, it must be essential. So how we have qualified this is that you can assist someone, you can visit them in activities of daily living and where there are no alternative care arrangements for the individual. And that person must have a disability or is above 60 years of age. So you can see how they have changed things to say, look, basically in layman's language, you can visit if that person is above 60 with a disability with no other care arrangements. So there again, it must be really essential.
Is it disability or over 60, or do they both have to be present?
Or,
okay, great.
Yeah, so you can have someone that's below 60, but of course with a disability and with no alternative care arrangement. So in many people's case, like mine, if the elderly have a helper, right, and the helper is pretty capable and well-trained, then there's no real reason to visit them. I mean, if you want to drop off a box of masks or some food, but you're not going to visit them, that's fine. A lot of people have been doing that. They just leave the food outside the gate or whatever, and there's no contact. You just leave it, and 5 minutes later or 2 minutes later, the person picks it up. So there's no contact.
Right. Because remember, you're putting them in danger as well if you walk in.
Exactly. I mean, they are the highest risk involved here. So I think, you know, I the other day, actually, I was at a supermarket and I overheard this man talking to his parents, elderly parents, over the phone, and on his end he was saying that, yeah, you know, I'm not supposed to visit you, maybe we cut it down to 2 times a week. You know, that I was rolling my eyes because I said, you're not supposed to be visiting. It is not because you are helping to fix the pipes or, you know, they can't get out of bed and that kind of thing.
Right.
So we need to take well, our government is not calling it a lockdown, and they have their reasons. But we need internally and individually to understand that, look, we need to take the measures seriously and not come up with some reason, sentimental reason, and justify it and say, oh, I want to visit my parents and I want to bring the grandkids along. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for many people, it's about getting used to a new normal. And it's not easy because, you know, depending on your age, you may have been doing this all your life and it's just part of your routine. For example, can you fly a balloon in the park with your young one? So coming back to the, we know that you can go out to exercise, but the thing is, what constitutes exercise? For some people, if you have a very young child, getting her to chase after a balloon constitutes exercise. So this actually happened to a friend of mine. So can you fly a balloon in the park with your young one?
Well, like I said, you know, even that's why cases go to court, because you need someone to look at a fact and then pass a decision or a verdict about whether a certain situation falls into a certain category. Mm. But honestly speaking, I mean, the bottom line is this. Flying a balloon generally is not... I think we can get kids to do a real exercise unless they are very, very, very young.
Yeah, unless they're very little.
Yeah, unless they are very little, yeah. So, but then again, I think a young child chasing a balloon for 15, 20 minutes, it's fine, you know. But the issue is always that what the enforcement officers are taking issue with and what they're trying to get at is that they linger. You sit down, you have a drink, and then you treat it like a picnic. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you bring a young child out to chase a balloon or play catching in a field for 15, 20 minutes and you're not involving any other person, no one's going to take issue. But the issue is with open spaces, especially, that, you know, people start to congregate, they're closer than 1 meter, and that's the issue. Yeah.
Got it.
But you must, I mean, parents must understand it, you know, we have to treat it more seriously, and we have to train our children also to take it more seriously, because if the parents don't take it seriously, the kids are not going to take it seriously.
True. All right, here's another scenario. We know that we can go out to exercise, and I've often wondered, how are people dealing with dating in a time like this? So can you meet your girlfriend for a walkabout in the park to exercise?
Well, good one. Well, the measures that are very clear is that the government is saying, whether it's exercise or anything else, you can go and exercise with an immediate family member, or even more than one, you know, a father with two kids. I mean, the government is not going to say, oh, the father only can bring out one child and not the other, right? Mm. So I think the people who drafted the legislation also know they've been thinking very hard. So, yeah, you can do that. But hang on, boyfriend, girlfriend, do you live together? Are you part? You know, that's why we talk about the person is in your residence. Yeah, so, I mean, if that is a reason why I think if the enforcement officers do a spot check, they look at your ID card. And if your ID card have the same address, then they'll say, okay, you registered the same address, you are part of the same household.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be tough for socializing and dating. In fact, I asked a younger person and said, so what are you guys doing? You know, do you Zoom date? They said, oh, we don't bother that. You know, we just don't. We don't date now. You know, it's terrible. But what to do? Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's always the phone. That's how some of us used to, you know, court in the past. Pick up the phone and use it for its original use.
Michelle, let's not reveal our age.
Yeah, well, that's one of the good things about wearing a mask. Nobody really knows what you look like behind it. So, remind us again of the penalties of not wearing a mask, Feng Pin.
Yeah, well, we don't want to go there, but yes, since 7 April, what the enforcement officers have been doing is they issue warnings. That's why you hear a lot of reports of a few thousand people warned, 3,000 people warned in one day. So, you know, the government joins us to educate. But I think we've gone past that. It's been more than a week. So the fine is now $300 for the first offense, right? And I think that we don't want to fine people for this sort of things, but some people just only respond to such measures. So the first offense is $300, yeah.
All right. And then after that?
Yeah. I think it's, well, let's
Does it get progressively higher?
It does. I think it is meant for a recalcitrant offenders, but we haven't come there yet. So I think the measures are up to...
I've got it. So if you are caught for refusing to wear a mask, you're going to be fined $300 on your first offense.
First offense, yeah.
And then if you flout the rule a second time, you're going to be fined $1,000. You can't
$1,000.
And then egregious cases may have to meet Feng Pin in court. you will be prosecuted in court.
Yeah. It's not a composition fine anymore. Yeah.
That's okay. What I mean. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for helping us clear up a lot of confusion around these rules, Fong Pin. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I mean, can I just also encourage your listeners to also check in with all the government websites, because actually the information I get, sometimes when you read the rules themselves, it's not easily understandable.
Yep.
But a lot of the MOH websites and government websites are very, very clear in illustrating what you can and what you cannot do. But if you want to go to the source, I go to the Government Gazette, the notices for the subsidiary legislation for those people interested. And also, I always post it on my Facebook so that people know the actual source of the law. Like when Minister Lawrence talked about masks, I looked for it, but I couldn't find it. But this morning when I looked for it, it was there. So the ministers obviously only make announcements when what has been passed into law. So if you're looking at the source of the law, go to the Government Gazette. But if you want to get
a
name...
Wait, Government Gazette needs a login though, right?
No. The notices are... The notices are there for a short period of time, like a couple of weeks, the latest ones, and then they're taken off, and then after that you have to log in. But the latest information is there. That's the wonderful thing about our system here. You can read the latest laws, or in this case, the COVID measures. I can give you the link if you like.
Yes, please.
You can share with your listeners. So that's the source of the law. But sometimes reading those pieces of legislation can be a bit challenging. So the MOH website is really good. The government.gov website is very good. They have infographics and things like that. So once the new law comes out, look up for the infographics.
At the Ministry of Health website, and you'll give me
I'll give you all the links later.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you as always for joining us. Lim Fong Pin there, Director of UN Law.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.